You are listening to The Life of Jesus Christ in a Year from the Visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I'll be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, though, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you were blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins, be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the most holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 75, in which we finish reading Volume 1. We will pick up where we left off in section number 15. Some Assyrians dwelt near the inn. They went to see Jesus, conversed, and ate with him. Jesus went to the synagogue and taught of John's baptism, which was a baptism of penance, a preliminary purification, a preparatory action, such as was prescribed in the law. It was different from the baptism of him whom John heralded. They that were baptized by John I did not see again baptized until after the death of Jesus and the coming of the Holy Ghost, when, for the most part, the ceremony was performed at the pool of Bethsaida. The Pharisees of this place asked Jesus by what signs they should know the Messiah, and he told them. He gave an instruction on the subject of mixed marriages with the heathens and Samaritans. Judas Iscariot, subsequently, the apostle here heard Jesus preaching. He had come alone and not with other disciples. After listening to his instructions for 2 days and passing remarks on the same with the disaffected Pharisees, he departed for a neighboring village, which did not bear a very good name. There he gave an account of what he had heard, talking with an air of importance to a pious man of the place. The latter, in consequence, invited Jesus to visit him. Judas carried on some kind of traffic. He was much occupied with writing and held himself in readiness for general services of any kind. When Jesus and his disciples arrived at the aforenamed place, which had been lately built and which on account of its mixed population was not in very good repute, Judas had departed. Herod owned a castle in the neighborhood. Something connected with the Benjaminites must have happened in this place, for there was a tree close at hand surrounded by a wall, and no one went near it. Abraham and Jacob had each offered sacrifice here, and hither had Esau withdrawn at variance with Jacob on the subject of the blessing. Isaac at that time was living near Sychar. The man that had invited Jesus to these parts was called Jairus. He belonged to the married Assyrians. He had a wife and several children, among the latter two sons, named Amon and Caleb. He had also a daughter whom Jesus at a later period cured of some disease, but he was not the Jairus of the gospel. He was a descendant of Chariot the Assyrian, who founded the convents near Bethlehem and Mespha, and he was familiar with many circumstances of Jesus' youth and family. He and his sons went forth to meet Jesus, whom they received with marks of deference. Jairus was, on account of his charity, the chief man of this despised place. He helped the poor, and on certain days gave instructions to the children and the ignorant, for they had here neither schools nor priests. He likewise cared for the sick. As usual, Jesus taught of the baptism of John, setting it forth as a preparatory baptism of penance, also of the near coming of the kingdom of God. With Jairus he visited the sick and consoled them, but he would not cure any. He promised to return in 4 months and cure them. In his instructions, he alluded to the events that had taken place here namely the estrangement of Esau, and anger from his brother, and the consequences following upon his rage. It was this that had brought the place into ill repute. Jesus told of the mercy of the Heavenly Father, who would realize all his promises in favor of those that would believe in the one sent by him, would do penance and be baptized, and he showed how penance wards off the consequences of sin. Toward evening, accompanied about halfway by Jairus and his sons, Jesus went with his disciples to Bethania. They stopped at an inn in the vicinity, and there Jesus gave his disciples a long instruction in which he alluded to the trials in store for him and all his followers. He told them that they should now leave him and weigh well whether they would be able to stand by him in his future sufferings. Lazarus came out to meet him. The disciples departed for their homes, Aram and Thamene, alone accompanying him to Bethania, where many friends from Jerusalem were awaiting him, among them the holy women and Veronica. Aram and Thamene were the nephews of Joseph of Arimathea, on the mother's side. They had been John's disciples, but had followed Jesus when, on his way to Gilgal, he had passed John's place of baptism. Jesus gave an instruction at Lazarus's on the baptism of John, on the Messiah, on the law and its fulfillment, and on the various sects among the Jews. His friends had brought with them to Jerusalem some rolls of writings from which Jesus explained to them the words of the prophets relative to the Messiah. But only a few were present at this instruction, only Lazarus and some intimate friends. Jesus advised with them on the subject of his future abode. They counseled him not to remain in Jerusalem, telling him all that was said of him there. They proposed to him Salem as proper for his residence, since but few Pharisees were in it. Jesus spoke of various places and of Melchizedek, whose figurative priesthood was soon to be realized. Melchizedek had laid out all the roads, founded all the places that in the designs of God the Son of Man was afterward to travel over and evangelize. Jesus concluded by telling them that he would be found mostly around the Lake of Gennesareth. This conference was held in a retired apartment that opened upon a garden attached to the baths. Jesus had an interview with the woman in a chamber fronting on the road that led to Jerusalem, and which had formerly been occupied by Magdalene. In obedience to Jesus' direction, Lazarus brought his silent sister Mary and left her alone with the Lord, the other women retiring in the meantime to the antechamber. Silent Mary's bearing toward Jesus was somewhat different than that of the last interview, for she cast herself down before him and kissed his feet. Jesus made no attempt to prevent her and raised her up by the hand. With her eyes turned heavenward, she at once, before uttered, the most sublime and wonderful things. Though in the most simple and natural manner, she spoke of God, of his Son, and of his kingdom, just as a peasant girl might talk of the father of the village, Lord, and his inheritance. Her words were a prophecy, and the things of which she spoke she saw before her. She recounted the grave faults and bad management of the wicked servants of the household. The father had sent his son to arrange affairs and pay off all debts, but they would receive him badly. He would have to die in great suffering, redeem his kingdom with his own blood, and efface the crimes of the servants, that they might again become the children of his father. She carried out the allegory in most beautiful language, and yet in a natural a manner, as if she were recounting a scene enacted in her presence. At times she was gay, at other times sorrowful, calling herself a useless servant, and grieving over the painful labors of the Son of the merciful Lord and Father. Another cause of sorrow to her was that the servants would not rightly understand the parable, although so simple and so true. She spoke of the resurrection. The Son, she said, would go to the servants in the subterranean prisons also. He would also console them and set them free, because he had purchased their redemption. He would return with them to his Father. But at his second advent, when he would come again to judge all those that had abused the satisfaction he had made, and who would not turn from their evil ways, should be cast into the fire. She then spoke of Lazarus's death and resurrection. He goes forth from this world, she said, and gazes upon the things of the other life. His friends weep around him as if he were never to return. But then the son calls him back on earth, and he labors in the vineyard. Of Magdalene, too, she spoke, "The maiden is in frightful desert, where once were the children of Israel. She wanders in accursed places, where all is dark, where never human foot has trod. But she will come forth, and in another desert make amends for the past." Mary the Silent spoke of herself as of a captive, for her body appeared to her a prison, and she longed to go home. She was straitened on all sides. Not one around her understood her, and they were, as it seemed to her, all blind. But she said she was willing to wait. She would bear her captivity submissively, for she deserved nothing better. Jesus spoke to her lovingly, consoling her and saying, "After the past, when I again come here, thou shalt indeed go home." Then, as she knelt before him, he raised his hands over her and blessed her. It seemed to me that, at the same time, he poured over her something from a flask, but I cannot say whether it was oil or water. Mary the Silent was a very holy person, but none knew or understood her. Her whole life was one uninterrupted vision of the work of redemption, of which she spoke like an innocent child. No one guessed her interior life, and she was regarded as a simpleton. When Jesus signified to her the time of her death, vis-a-vis, that she should, freed from captivity, at last go home, he anointed her for death. From this, we may conclude that anointing is more necessary for the body than some people generally think. Jesus pitied silent Mary, who, as a reputed simpleton, would have received no embalming. Her holiness was hidden. Jesus dismissed her, and she returned to her abode. After this, Jesus again instructed the men on the baptism of John and that of the Holy Ghost. I do not remember any very great difference between the first named and that bestowed by the disciples of Jesus. The latter, however, was a little more like that which, at a later period, was to take away sin. Nor did I ever see any of those that had been baptized by John, rebaptized before the descent of the Holy Ghost. The friends from Jerusalem returned to the city before the Sabbath, Aram and Themini going in company with Jesus of Arimathea. Jesus had told them that he would retire a while in order to prepare for the painful mission before him, that of teaching. But he did not tell them that he was going to fast. This concludes our reading for today. And in fact, it concludes our reading of Volume 1. And so now let us reflect over these last pages that we have just listened to, that we have just read. So we have Jesus encountering a man named Jairus. And Anne Catherine Emmerich goes to great lengths to say this is not the Jairus of the gospel. You remember Jairus going to the Lord, asking for the healing for his child. What I find most interesting here, he cared for the sick, and as usual, Jesus taught of the baptism of John and so forth. With Jairus, he visited the sick and consoled them, but he would not cure any. He promised to return in 4 months and cure them. So, a few things. First, I wonder if we'll actually hear about this in the next volume when we read it. But why would he wish to return in 4 months? Why not right away? Was it to create a longing? Was it for them to change their lives? Like, what was the purpose of Jesus waiting 4 months to heal them? It's a good question. And then it says, Jesus told of the mercy of the Heavenly Father who would realize all his promises in favor of those that would believe in the one sent by him, would do penance and be baptized. And he showed how penance wards off the consequences of sin. We do penance. Of course, every confession there is penance that we do to atone for our sins. In Mary's apparition, she has called for penance, do penance so that my son won't punish them. Penance, penance, penance. She told the children at Fatima that they should make small acts of penance for the salvation of souls. So we do our penance for ourselves and for others. We make these self-acts of denial. We do them as a loving offering to God. And we're reminded today that penance wards off the consequence of sin. Consequence of sin, death, judgment, punishment. But penance can atone for those things, can help to right our relationship with the Lord God. And then we hear of Mary the Silent. Now, remember, this is Lazarus, Mary, Martha, Mary the Silent, Mary Magdalene. That's what Anne Catherine Emmerich proposes. And so Mary the Silent, she has these keen insights. She's already talking about what Jesus is going to do, like this prophetic utterance that she herself is making and in the presence of the Lord. That she speaks about Lazarus and his death and his resurrection. And so she's gifted. She has this special gift of God. And we'll continue to see throughout these readings, I'm sure, how God is active and at work in this family life from Bethania, of Mary the Silent and Mary, all the people. Mary the Silent spoke of herself as a captive. It seemed to her all blind. You know, we hear a lot about the blindness of people, physical blindness being healed. It seems like Mary the Silent is speaking about a spiritual blindness. And so we ask the Lord to help us to see. This brings us to a close of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. Please share this podcast with others. Share it with your family, text it to your friends, send a message out to your prayer group, let them know you're listening, and encourage them to join you so that you can have holy conversations with them about these writings of Anne Catherine Emmerich. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you, and Mary pray for you.